I think, like you, it's the whole thing. But I was just thinking then as you were talking, I think it's...
Brilliant.
What?
Well, I was thinking while Ben was talking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, no, both of you, actually. So don't think it's just you, Ben.
Just So Jables.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Just So Jables film podcast. Kind of, because this week it's...
Retro Reels. I've jingled it.
It's jaunty, I was going to say.
It's good, I like it.
Where normally we'll be talking about a brand new film straight out of the cinema with Retro Reels, we will be watching an old film. And what's that film, our kid?
Aliens.
So we'll be putting Aliens on in the Corn Exchange in King's Lynn. Looks like there's going to be a good crowd there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us, our kid, what you know and want to see in Aliens?
Okay, so Aliens is the sequel to Alien, which came out in 1979. And then in 1986, Aliens followed. And I think one of the things I like the most about Aliens is that it is quite a different kind of film to the first one. With sequels, you sort of expect a bit more of the same, don't you? But this goes in a much more action direction.
Yeah.
It feels a bit more like Predator, really, in the way that there's a big group of soldiers that are trying to hunt something down.
Okay.
Anything you want to say in general about the film, Ben?
No, not at this stage. I'm sure we'll get into it, but I didn't realise there
Thanks for your contribution, Ben.
Yeah, yeah. So there's 7 years between Alien and Aliens. In my mind, I always feel like it's just a couple of years and they came quite quickly hot on the heels of each other, but they didn't, did they?
No.
The things they do these days, films often come out like bang, bang, bang. Back in the day, you could even get like 10 years between sequels. Would it be fair to say that Alien and Aliens are kind of the proper Aliens films?
I think so. To be honest, there were elements that I really liked about the third film as well, the one set on a prison.
Yeah,
I didn't like what happened to some of the beloved characters at the very, very beginning.
Because they killed Kyle Reese.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And Newt. I mean, come on. That was harsh.
Yeah.
I didn't like the fourth film. I remember seeing that at the cinema.
Which was that? Resurrection.
Resurrection,
yeah.
Then there were all the Prometheus films and...
Alien versus Predator,
yeah.
This film, I'd say, is the one that more directly spawned the Alien genre of films and follow-ups, the action style, and computer games as well, is what I was going to say. There's a lot of computer games based on the Aliens franchise, of varying qualities, but this is the one that expanded the lore as such. Yeah, we'll get onto that. I think we'll probably talk a lot more story and stuff when it comes to it later in our second part. We can get into that a bit more. This was directed by James Cameron, not
David.
Ridley Scott done the first film, didn't he? And it's, as you say, it's a big kind of tonal shift in all sorts of, not just in Ripley, the returning character, but in the makeup of the film. As you say, it's like a squad, which you do kind of get in the first film. So the first film is like survival. This is taking it back, this is hunting.
Yeah.
And that theme goes quite right across the board, doesn't it? It's like with the Marines and the corporation, but also Ripley as well. Her character develops quite a lot in this film, which I really like. I really like this film. Love the Marines. This is such a quotable film. It's unbelievable. And we will be coming up with all of them again later. I know it's going to be lots of nods and winks between me and Barney and stuff while we're watching the film. But yeah, no, it's just I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to getting down in there, watching the full thing. As I said, we're doing the director's cut, as we spoke about briefly last week. Mm-hmm. So again, we'll get into that a bit more probably when we start talking about the additional scenes. Because, Ben, you're not 100% sure if you've seen the director's cut.
No, not 100% sure. If I have, I'm not sure what the difference is. Yeah, so this special edition is 1991. I think I probably repeat myself, but I think I asked you this probably last week, Jables. So they're not calling it a director's cut, but it is.
Special edition was cool, but it is kind of the director's cut.
Right,
yeah.
And that was done for like a special VHS release or something.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think the theatrical release was, I think it was really just cut for time, to be honest. Because these scenes do actually add quite a lot in terms of backstory and some nice visuals. So much so there's bits that are mentioned in the original theatrical release. They talk about putting the sentries up and guarding different corridors when they're planning out defending against the aliens. And you just hit them going off in the background and then they stop and that's it. Whereas this shows the sentries. And this film, like to me, it's the teenage dream version of Aliens. This is the one that I would have loved to have seen in the cinema live. This is the one that I'd have been walking out, punching my ear with my mace. I'll tell you what, it's like the Pacific Rim of films, because I remember watching Pacific Rim, which isn't even that long ago, but we went to the cinema, we watched Pacific Rim with mates, and you're just like, whoa! It's just one of those kind of like, come out kind of like punching the air, but also like punching the air as if you're trying to fight a giant monster. And this is it. I could imagine myself watching this film and running around the streets like an idiot, making pulse rifle noises and all that kind of stuff. So
we'll watch out for that then.
Yeah, it may well happen. Yeah. But there's so many iconic things in this film, like I said, that last because of that.
What sort of stuff have we got? So straight away that comes to mind, because my memory for films isn't as good as yours, but I'm thinking, obviously, the quotable stuff. You've got the kid who's hiding out in, is it like a mining base or something?
Colony.
That terrified me the first time. I was like, you've just got this little girl who's just been hiding out from loads of aliens for like months or weeks or whatever.
They're on the planet LV-421 to terraform. So they're atmosphere processors. And also like they are prospectors as well. So that's one of the reasons. That's what you're seeing some of the deleted scenes is they're going out to find a piece of land that they can claim as well. So there's people on that, or areas that they can claim for mining or for themselves. Kind of like American sort of Midwest type.
Yeah.
Because you don't quite trust the corporation either, do you? Mm-mm. So when she says, promise me you're going out to kill them and not to study them. And they're like,
sure, no problem.
Yeah, there's that. So you've got Newt and you've got, as we said, returning characters of Ripley. And then, you know, you've got Burke, who's from the corporation, who employs Ripley to go back as an advisor for the cloning marines. Yeah, and then you get so many stereotypes. There's a lot of stereotypes, but there's a lot I like about it as well.
Yeah.
I like it's got that synergy between like female and male marines that are just like, it's a bit like in Alien. We said about the first, they're just space truckers. It's all practical. It's practical stuff. It's not like, oh, you know, you're like that. You know, it's just everyone's just doing their jobs. And it's like that in this as well. It's not like she's a male Marine and they're just Marines. Mm. So they're all just, there's no kind of like, everyone respects everyone apart from, you know, the ones that they don't respect for obvious reasons. But it all just works. It's very functional, but very good as well. You've got the, you know, Hicks and Hudson. Hudson's the, you know, the kind of comedian sort of thing, and Bill Paxton, that is, isn't it? And Vasquez.
Yeah, Vasquez is really
Vasquez,
cool.
Apone. I love Apone. He's the sergeant. He's the boss man. Just like, look into my eye. He's just the badass kind of gunnery sergeant type.
You
thing.
Like them though, don't you? You do. Get where they're coming from. There's no one just playing up being tough. You really believe that they're proper fighters.
Yeah, and how it is like, Ripley grows in this film so well because she's quite timid, and she's not timid when it comes to corporation people, but she's very out of her comfort zone when she's first in with the Marines, isn't she? But she holds her own, and they kind of have to end up respecting her because they're proper like American Vietnam style Marine sort of things. They're just going to walk in here. Ah, it's another bug hunt. That's the thing I like. It's not like massive setups. It's like we say about all these kind of films. There's lore to it, but they're not saying, oh, just so you know, there was this one time where we done so and so and so and so, and that makes us good. It's just like, oh, it's just another bug hunt. And it's all, they've all had previous pasts and all this kind of stuff. But it's not like, here you go, have a little spoon of my exposition. Mm. Mm. So, yeah, they think it's just going to be just a breeze that's wander in.
Yeah,
and,
in and out.
Yeah. In terms of, I love the effects. It's got a really good mix of, I think it's primarily probably practical effects.
Yeah.
There are some dodgy looking bits I know now, which are kind of superimposed sort of ships flying. But it's only those bits that are dodgy because the rest of it's like practical effects and models. There's a lot of models in the film. And you can see them. You can tell all the models. But we've said it before. There's something about models that is just, I don't know, I just like it. I like it when it's done well. I just think it's still better.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100% agree with that.
You know, they made the entire facility, the whole place, the colony, the ship, the Nostromo. And is it Nostromo in this? Wait, no, it's not.
That's the first one. That's the isn't first it, the one. Nostromo?
It's the Sulaco and Aliens. So, yeah, you know, they built that. You've got the mech?
The
loader.
That's iconic. The bit I kind of remember the most. I think when I start thinking of aliens, it's where I go first.
There's so many amazing bits. There's so many kind of standout bits in this film. Not just influenced the franchise. I think it influenced a lot of films and a lot of parts to films. And I think some of it blurs between the, you know, alien and aliens, but the lines of, you know, the kill me kind of stuff, when they're held captive by aliens, and then this alien's coming out the walls, and you forget about the bit with the cameras. It's like one of the first times you see, like, Marines with cameras on their shoulders and that almost, like, first-person aspect of stuff. Because it wasn't done in stuff before, and this is the first time you see it. Camera switching off, sat in a room seeing the cameras going off because they're getting killed and then jumping. It's just really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess we'll get into it a bit more reaction afterwards. What are you looking forward to most of all, Arkid?
Just all of it. I haven't seen it for ages. I was trying to rack my brain to think when I watched Aliens last, and it was at least 10 years ago, if not a bit more. So I'm just excited about the whole thing and maybe just getting into that universe a little bit more if I enjoy it, going back to the first one. Yeah, all of it. Ben?
Straight off the top of my head, I think things like just the design of the xenomorphs, are they?
Yeah.
Xenomorphs? I don't think it's ever been beaten. And I think, is it like an H.R. Geiger design?
Yeah. Yeah,
originally. Yeah. It just is never beaten. So there's been like countless monsters and aliens and stuff in films since.
Yeah.
And you see them, like we see films now, like we saw the trailer for like the new Godzilla, Kong, whatever it's called. And you look at them, you're like, okay, you know, but it's just so iconic.
Yeah.
And I think it's obviously, you know, rippled down through the years. It's influenced a lot of people in terms of design of scary creatures.
Yeah.
But like, even as a grown up now, thinking about that creature, it's like, it's creepy.
Yeah.
It's intimidating. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah.
It's still scary to see those aliens appear around the corner and drop down from the ceiling and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And the facehugger as well is just horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Because the thing about the facehugger, like, it's rooted in reality. There's probably things in the world that look a bit like that. And then you're like, oh,
my hand.
A bit... Yeah. That's a bit too close for comfort, like.
Yeah.
It's, and I think that's where a lot of films get it wrong. They try too hard and they try to make the monsters too big and too alien.
Yeah, too intricate.
Whereas all this, like the xenomorph stuff, it's rooted in physiology. Like, it's designed with the exoskeleton and stuff. And it's, like, based on things that could be biologically possible, I suppose. And then they've decided what things you would add to that to make it really, really hard to kill.
Yeah.
So it's really thought through. It's not just like, oh, random alien. It's like, we've thought about this.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me it is, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but the aliens is the thing I'm looking forward to in Aliens.
Jables?
I think like you, it's the whole thing. But I was just thinking then as you were talking, I think it's...
Brilliant.
What?
Well, I was thinking while Ben was talking.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, both of you actually. So don't think it's just you, Ben. It's the visuals, it's obvious. It's the visuals and the sounds and the like those original. I was just thinking of the sound when they've got the motion sensor things. There's so many things I think, wow, just all sorts. Flamethrower Ripley.
Yeah.
And yeah, strapping. How cool is that? Strapping a flamethrower to a pulse rifle. And and she's badass in that.
Yeah, she's
proper,
totally badass.
Proper cool. Yeah, so much. I'm getting excited now.
Yeah, you are. There is still a lot of suspense in it. It's not a suspense film in the same way as the first film.
No.
That's much more trying to build tension constantly. But there is still a lot of underlying fear as well as action, definitely.
Like, you know, especially like in the medical lab, not going to spoil it now, but that's so tense, that scene. Brilliant. And Bishop. We haven't even spoken about Bishop.
Yeah.
I love Bishop. He's one of my favourite. He's one of my favourite film, like, androids type robots.
Yeah.
He's so cool.
Because I did actually, talking about the Prometheus films, I did actually like David, who was the Bishop character. He was the standout thing in the whole of those films for me. So I like that kind of slightly creepy android humanoid thing.
Well, let's get going before I pee my pants and we can just keep talking later on.
Cool.
I do have one quick question for you, Jables, before we go. Have you ever been mistaken for a man?
No, have you?
No. Off we go.
And we're back from the Corn Exchange, having just watched Aliens. Who's going to give us a film synopsis?
Ben.
Oh, okay. So.
Would you like me to do it?
Yes, please.
Okay, so we join Ellen Ripley 57 years after the events of Alien, but because she's been in stasis, she hasn't aged a day.
Indeed.
Really, maybe a day or two,
maybe
but not
days.
Much. So she has to go through a bit of a trial, isn't it, to go through the events of what happened, and the company aren't very happy with the loss of money, etc., and she gets bumped down to traffic duty, effectively. I think she gets a little job in stores. But then Burke comes to visit her to say that the Marine Corps are going on a mission to investigate some happenings that may include some bugs. I'm doing inverted comma bugs. And will she go along as a consultant? Which reluctantly she does. And all hell breaks loose. How's that for an off the cuff?
It'll do. I mean, we talked about a lot of stuff last time. So, you know, we'll pretty much be talking about everything. Yeah, good. So it is a couple of days later because we never got a chance to record until today.
We have been in stasis over the Easter
period. We have indeed. It was really good. It was really good watching it on the big screen. Corn Exchange done good by us, putting everything on, even included the little Ridley Scott part, of the James Cameron, sorry, part of the start where he was chatting about this being his favourite version of Aliens with about 16 minutes extra, I think it is, something like that. And we'll chat more about the extended scenes as we get on. But yeah, everything was as I remembered and everything was kind of better than I remembered as well, watching it in the big screen. So much detail. In the film, in almost every part. It's kind of shocking almost. You know, just the sets, just everything really. It looks, I know it sounds silly, but it looks like it's in the environment that it's set in. It's not documentary, but you could imagine, they went to a planet, did they? Oh, brilliant to film this. Yeah. It's great. Yeah, and everything's kind of functional, but everything works. And yeah, there's a lot I liked about it in terms of the setup and looked. We spoke about it beforehand. Ripley is awesome. Yeah. Sigourney Weaver's so good in this film. And I think a lot of people are good in this film as well. You know, even Burke, who is an absolute asshole, he is very good at being an asshole.
Yeah. It's like Paul Reiser's character.
Yeah.
It's almost like a slimy, he's like an estate agent almost, isn't he?
He totally is.
The corporation guy.
He's almost like, not quite that bad, but almost like an estate agent.
Yeah. The characters are good. I know we were laughing. You were laughing a lot while we were watching it about Hudson. Hudson's just basically off the rails.
He really is.
He's kind of unhinged and then he loses it.
Yeah.
And I love how he gets shut down. You know, because he is the Joker. He's the dumb Joker early on.
He's properly doing overt tough guy stuff, isn't he? But then when everything really goes to shit, he just can't handle it.
Yeah.
He completely loses it.
It's weird though. He can't handle it, but he does handle it. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, he is quite cool at that last point. But he is really like, you know, game over, man, that whole thing.
But he never throws his arms up in the air, stop. But he's just like, you know, everyone needs to understand how bad this is multiple times. But yeah, he's really good. It's quite a long film. I was chatting about it with Dad in the car on the way back. And there's actually long periods of this film where there's not that much happening.
Very quiet.
Very quiet. But the dialogue's matter of fact, and it's strong, and they don't do stupid things, despite stupid things happening. Yeah, there's a couple of bits that you're like, okay, yeah, that's a little bit cheese and a little bit OTT. But I remember watching it the very first time and being ever so slightly confused about what they were doing in terms of going to the planet, and then they go to the command center, and then they go to the other bits, and how did they get from there to there? I don't know, there's something about watching it in the bigger screen where you're not watching it on a smaller screen, where the scenes are, the sets are similar, but there's enough differentiation to you to know what's going on. You could tell when they were inside the ship, if that makes sense, that it just made it a bit clearer. It just made everything a bit more obvious. I forgot how sort of sinister Bishop comes across early on.
There's something really strange about how they do Bishop with such subtlety, the way they've darkened his hair to make him look a little bit unnatural, but not completely synthetic. It's very cleverly done.
Yeah. And the way he's introduced with the famous knife scene is really good, because you're watching it going, there's something weird there. That's once you know, it's very hard to put your mind into how it felt watching it first time.
Mm. Yeah, but there's two things, because we were talking as well after the film about the things that this does, although it's not a subtle film in the sense that it's like, it's about, you know, action and killing aliens and stuff. But the way they do the characterization is much more subtle than you get these days. I think we might have been saying that before as well.
Yeah.
So with that, like the Bishop character with the knife thing, it's showing you firstly that he's not human.
Mm.
And secondly, there's the trust bit, because he's like, right, trust me.
Yeah.
That's kind of overt, but it's just a moment in the whole film, isn't it? Because you know there's that whole background, and then there's the mistrust of the androids and stuff.
Yeah.
But they don't keep labouring it like you get in a modern film.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be like long philosophical conversations and angsty moments.
Yeah.
It's just like, right, I'm going to use this knife trick to show you that you can probably trust me.
Yeah.
Although I might be not completely infallible, because obviously he does just nick himself.
Yeah, I know, he nicks himself. And when he sits down next to the Sigourney Weaver, the way she acts that out, it's like, it's so kind of perfect, isn't it? It's just like, you know, nobody told me there were, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, knocks the thing out and tells him to stay away, and he just gets up and walks away, sort of. It's not like every time he walks past or she walks past, she's like side-eyeing him or, you know. Yeah, she's obviously keeping a distance, and you can kind of see from her expressions that she doesn't trust him. It's more subtle than that. And he proves himself. And even though you kind of think, well, he doesn't need to prove himself. He just does. But by doing what he's doing, he's proving himself to Ripley the whole way through, which is really good. I've been rambling. What about you guys?
The things I noticed more with it being on the big screen was, like you said, with the visuals. They're very, very James Cameron visuals. We noticed and said the same thing about Terminator. Those worlds are built in a very specific but very realistic way. You totally accept them. Like the same as when you watch the beginning of Terminator and you see the future and what it looks like. You totally believe that that's what the world looks like now. And you totally believe this planet and this terraforming that's going on from the visuals, but also from the acting. And on our way home, Ben and I were saying there were so many people just in those early scenes of whatever you call it, trial. There were people around the table. There were people that were in the terraforming shots later on. We've seen in murder mysteries, they're proper British character actors. They're just in these tiny little roles. But
the meeting scene, there's only like two or three people that actually say anything. Mm. But it's a whole room and it feels like a believable tribunal room of people. You know, it felt like everyone was trying to make that part as believable as possible.
Yeah,
the only nod to the future there in that room was that everyone has the back of their jacket collar turned up, because that's what you do in the future.
Yeah,
just the subtlety of the acting, the subtlety of the characterization, the way when they all sort of wake up and pop out of their things and the first thing that Abe Pone does is stick a cigar in his mouth. Again, it just tells you so much about his character just in a second.
It's not done by exposition. It's just done by
it does, it's not someone telling you what he's like and why he's like he is. You just get it just from that one short action. Yeah, great.
On that Ape Home bit, you get that kind of gunnery, that sergeant kind of character in it, the middleman, the shouty, brash, sorting things out. It was interesting. We watched Battle of Britain yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it's so funny. There's so many of those kind of characters in that film as well, isn't there? There's the matter-of-fact, shouty, in-betweeny guy. Yeah, they even like portray like a German guy do it, like the German sergeant major kind of thing, shouting at the troops. I think you said on Sunday, didn't you, Ben? It's a shame he disappears so quickly.
Yeah, because he's such a good character.
Yeah.
I thought probably if it was me, not that I'm trying to second guess classic films, but I would have just kept him alive a bit longer and given him a slightly more heroic death.
Yeah, but there's something in the fact that it doesn't happen like that. They're thrust into that situation. Sarge is gone. We've got this guy who's not led many missions before. What are we going to do now? That's when Ripley steps up, really, isn't it? Ripley and, as Dad pointed out halfway through the film, he just suddenly said, oh, Terminator. when he noticed Brilliant. That, what's his name? It's
Kyle Reese.
What's his name? No,
Michael Biehn.
That's right. Yeah. When he's there, and it's like him and Ripley are basically having to take charge of the whole operation. I love that little scene where she realises Hudson's going to be a problem. She's almost like having to give him a job. And then he gives, sort out the plans, find the plans. I love that scene where there's just all of them sat around the desk and they're all looking, and it felt so natural, you know, so much so, it's, you know, he picks Newt up and puts her on the desk and it's just like, it's, you know, it's just brilliant. There's just things like that that are just subtle and really, really work well. So Ben, what about you? What other bits from you?
Yeah, a few other random things, I guess. Yeah, I will just mention the model making, because we said about the scenes and like, you can believe it, but you also know that it's a model. So there's parts where you can clearly tell it's a tiny model or whatever. And I just love all that stuff. I've said it before about other things we've watched, and I just think it's great. And again, to draw a parallel, what that film would be done like now, it would probably be 95% CGI.
Yeah.
And it just wouldn't be the same. And it's just that feel. Even though, like, you get these little, I don't know, there's a little rover going across some terrain, and you can see it's bouncing around because it's only about 2 inches long and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really cute, but it's also really cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just that sort of world building. Other just random things. So Newt, for example.
Yeah.
So I think I said going into this that it really stuck in my mind, you know, the bit where they first find her and then they go and figure out that she's been living for maybe several weeks or so.
Yeah.
Just in this like little ducting area, collecting like a load of crisps and
8 or 9 weeks or something.
Yeah. One thing I did notice watching it on the big screen though, she's collected some tofu.
Really?
Things are getting really desperate.
Yeah.
I'd probably rather just walk out and find an alien at that point. Just take me. But The thing about Newt, though, is like that character could have been annoying, you know, just to add like a child. I mean, I'd say she probably is one of the main characters in it, arguably, because she's in it quite a lot and right from the start as well. But it doesn't quite tip over into that. She doesn't get whiny or too annoying or too clingy or just does stupid stuff. She does a little bit of stupid stuff, but only in the sense that you'd expect someone in that situation to do it. So that's, I don't know, it's just a point to mention.
She's very self-preservation at the start, isn't she?
Because other stuff that doesn't make sense, though, like before it all kicks off, when they're with the families, so the families are there doing the terraforming because they have to be there for, I guess, years or possibly a decade or so at a time to make it worth going there and doing the work.
Yeah.
So the families go, and they seem to just range around as a family unit doing work out on the planet. And it's like, this seems a little risky to me. Wouldn't you just leave the kids back at the base? No, they head off in a little rover vehicle and like, it's like,
I kind of like it. I think it does because the planet is clearly partway through being terraformed because they can breathe near the atmosphere processors and also they can breathe out, the family are breathing outside with the nostril stuff. Mm. I find that interesting. By the time that the Marines have got there, which is like 9 weeks later or whatever, the planet's still not perfect, but they're all breathing normal atmosphere. Mm. So I think there isn't that kind of, there isn't a threat from the planet. They're terraforming a rock, basically. So I quite like, because they're basically, the family's gone out there to stake a claim. They're like prospectors.
Yeah. Mm,
that's true, yeah. Yeah, what else? The xenomorphs, however you want to say it, they are still scary.
Yeah.
On the big screen, I'd say the only thing is sometimes they were a bit too close, so I couldn't quite see always what was going on.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of it, but I think on a smaller screen you get more of a sense of the complete alien, arguably. Mm. I don't know what you think about
that. I know what you mean. There's a lot of that's a little bit in hindsight as well. Knowing when you know what's happening, you know, there's obviously other horror films that have that kind of trope, but you definitely have that sense when you get to the very final encounter with the alien queen, that it's all over. You start thinking, you're not thinking there's more to come. You're thinking, oh, we're good now. You know, they've made it back to the ships. Everything's going to be fine. Pixie's sedated. You know, hey, Bishop, you're all right. Not bad. Not bad for an android. And then it's suddenly like, I love that bit where it just like pops up and just like rips Bishop in half. And you're like, oh, shit. And it's a very much a horror kind of film motif, isn't it? And yeah, I just think that works really well in this. Yeah, it's really good. I mean, I was thinking when you were saying about special effects, this film made today would have the aliens ramped up to crazy. Like the scenes where you see the sentries, you'd have aliens dropping in and out and guns firing. Whereas a lot of that scene is just people looking at monitors, guns seeing back to corridors and fire. You're not seeing like loads of aliens getting splattered and hundreds of them going down the corridor. There aren't really that many encounters with the aliens in this, with lots of aliens.
Mm.
You've got them in when the Marines are sent to the below the refinery or the generators. And there's later on when they've broken into the compound through the roof.
Mm.
And obviously the bits in between there and the end. But there's not like a lot of aliens in this film.
No, I think that's fair. Yeah, definitely.
It's a little bit like the Jaws. When we talk about Jaws, it's like you don't see a lot of the shark. You don't actually see a lot of the aliens in this. And I think that's what makes it better as well. I think when you've got stuff like Alien versus Predator, where you've got, you know, millions of aliens climbing up the side of a pyramid, you're just a little bit, huh?
You're a bit dumb.
In CGI.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's still a good design though, isn't it?
Very good, yeah.
And the facehuggers, because like I said, going into it, they're based in some notion of reality.
Yeah.
Like, particularly the facehuggers, you could imagine that's a real thing, like I said. But even the xenomorphs, like, it's been thought about, the anatomy and how they actually work. And okay, acid for blood doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's a nice twist. And I think they still work really well because you've got, like, the original Alien film, when was that? 79?
Yeah.
So, you know, quite a while ago now, you think, well, they could start to look a bit sort of either cute or weird or clunky, but I don't think they do. They still look sinister. No. They look purposeful.
And pretty nasty. They're just nasty things, aren't they? When you see them, you're just like, ugh. Especially when they're in big screen and they're running around in the room. It's just like, that's horrible. Yeah.
There's a lair and, you know, when she's walking through where all the eggs are and that, it's kind of disgusting, isn't it?
Is it ovipositor, that thing that comes out?
Yeah.
With all the eggs in it. You're like, no.
Yeah, it's pretty grim. No. So which extended scenes did you notice then, Ben?
Hands up, I have no idea which are the extended scenes.
You'll have to talk us through.
Well, we did
them.
Talk about it, I think, beforehand. But, you know, the obvious ones are where you see Newt and them finding the alien on the planet, on the colonists. That's massively extended. I think it really works. I think all of these actually scenes, I think we said before, all add to this film. Like, you know, you watched it and it feels quite seamless, doesn't it? And, you know. There's some additional bits of dialogue between Burke and Newt, and when they're talking about, and also Hicks like later on, just some extra dialogue scenes when they're on there. The sentry gun sequence, which you wouldn't, I don't think you, I literally don't think you see the sentry guns at all in the theatrical release. Not even them putting them down. I don't think they're just referred to. Ripley's daughter is, you see the, when she sat down looking at the pictures of her daughter in the past. And yeah, there's some bits, there's some extended bits of the with the alien queen. And also there's a bit where you see the xenomorph nest that you see more of in this. So it's, there's not a lot of additional scenes, but there's lots of bits that are additions to scenes, I think. Which make things work better. Really good. Would watch again.
Yeah, definitely.
I was sat there going, I could watch it again tonight.
So the only thing that's popped in my head is, right, Aliens 3.
Yes.
Remind me what then happens next, because we go literally straight into that storyline.
Pretty much. There is a hypersleep. They're travelling back and they end up crash landing into a prism planet. And there's a lot of stuff that changed in the production of Alien 3. So they crash down on the ship. The crash kills Hicks and Newt. Only Ripley's left. And they manage to get Bishop going as well.
A bit of Bishop.
They kind of put, like, switching back on to provide bits. But yeah, it's based on a prison planet. And the xenomorph, there's a facehugger, is it?
There's a dog alien, isn't
there?
So
the facehugger attacks a dog and it ends up taking over, like making a dog alien, which is kind of quicker and a bit more dog. Yeah,
I do like aspects. The third film aspects of it. Yeah. I think the prison thing's really clever, and it has got a lot of tension in, you know, fear tension in it. Mm. There's loads of classic British actors in it.
Yeah, who's it? Who's
Pete Postlethwaite?
Pete Postlethwaite, that's it.
Is, but I really wish it had been a side story and it hadn't been Ripley, because I like the idea of Ripley, Hicks and Newt going off.
Yeah.
Forming a nice little family unit somewhere.
Yeah, because if you're Ripley, you'd be like, oh, for f***ing sake.
Yeah.
Really?
There is a lot of that.
Yeah, so it might have been nice to do like a Predator 2 style turn on it. But
I think I'd agree. I don't think there's something in production. I think she signed up, but really, she wasn't going to do this. Mm. She wasn't going to do Alien 3 at all. Mm. And I think they made her an offer she couldn't refuse. Mm. And as you say, there's a lot of, if you were making porridge at that time.
The TV show.
Yeah, Orange. The TV show. No, you'd get a lot of those actors that are in that.
To be, oh, like, seriously?
What you mean? They're all bring, like, basically it's a prison planet. So,
thought you were going for like an Aliens porridge crossover film.
No.
That would be funny.
Aliens versus Grouty.
Yeah.
They wouldn't stand a chance.
But it's a prison planet, so it's like, and all the prisoners are British, aren't they? And it never grabbed me. It never got me. I'll be honest. Even Alien, I know this is like heresy, but I like Alien, but I prefer Aliens. I would stick it above it any time, just
you
for
do
me.
As well, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, really? Just not to take anything away from Alien, because it defines a lot of this film. But I think it's
just a different vibe. You say that, and then you think of the bit where the team are first introduced, and then like the alien pops out. And actually, it is really good film.
It's really good film. Yeah, around the dinner table and around that stuff. Yeah, it's brilliant. It's just. Like if someone handed me the two discs and said, right, we're watching one of these tonight, which do you want? I will almost, like even now, I'd go Aliens.
So peak Alien. Aliens is peak Alien.
Aliens is peak Alien for me.
It's obviously why we picked it. So
yeah,
there you go.
Absolutely. Shout out to the guy who was sat behind us during the cinema, who was absolutely fine, but at the end of the film said along the lines of, didn't know what that was going to be. I thought it was going to be like about aliens and the outer space and stuff. And we're like,
bless you for sitting through the whole thing.
Yeah. I'm interested to know if he actually liked it or not.
Yeah, well, like sort of Little Green Men, Roswell.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Area 51 type stuff, yeah.
So
okay.
Quite funny. Unless he was joking as well. He could have just been
messing with him. Because I heard that too. Yeah. I don't think he was. I think he'd genuinely gone through his entire life not ever happening upon the Aliens franchise.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Claire for having a ringtone that sounded like it could have been sound effects from Aliens. It didn't actually ruin the film at that point.
Yeah. I was actually confused. Like, for the first second, I was like, what's that?
Yeah, yeah.
This,
wow, surround sound's getting
good. Yeah, no, it's getting
it sounds
really
like
good.
It's coming down it's from below
down
my
there,
feet.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Got a good turnout, didn't we? I'd say it was almost full.
Yeah. Matt and Charlotte and Adrian were up the front, and they said that they definitely going to be sitting further back next time, because I can imagine being that close to the front of that film. There's a lot of flashing and shower and fast-moving action. Yeah.
It went down very well. We've already had some messages saying thank you.
Excellent.
For putting it on. We've had one from Mark, who has suggested some films for next time.
Okay.
If you would like me to reel them off.
Go for it.
Retro
reel them off. Very good. Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, yeah.
Flash Gordon. Blade Runner. Clue.
Yeah.
The Crow. brackets Brandon Lee, so not the
new one,
Nightmare on Elm Street, Die Hard.
Nice.
And then he said, really enjoyed watching Aliens tonight with my wife. Hope to be back to watch another great movie. Keep it up.
Awesome.
Smiley face.
Cheers, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Well, some of them are definitely on the list. Flash Gordon's a new one. You seem very keen on that as well.
Yeah, you're quite excited about it.
That might be quite a fun summer camping it up, blockbustery.
I need a bit of convincing on Flash Gordon.
Oh, do you?
I like Flash Gordon, but I need a bit of convincing on it. But we, you know,
I'm not putting anything to a vote again because you just get friends manipulating. To sway it, yeah. So we're not having any of that anymore. So I think me and Ben will just decide what we do next, shall we?
Yeah.
And I'll be in charge.
Right. That seems right.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, on that bombshell. Yeah.
What other choices have you got then? What would you fancy?
We've got maybe Ghostbusters. We've been talking about Ghostbusters for weeks and
we have.
Even.
I mean, there's ones that we spoke about before. There's Beetlejuice. Highlander, I think, is a good one for me. Time Bandits.
Yeah,
Time Bandits would be popular, I think.
Yeah, Predator. Yeah.
I think Predator should probably be the one. I don't think we should do Aliens, then Predator straight away.
Or should we? Would it be perfect? And then we should do Alien versus Predator.
Yeah.
But
No. We do need to do The Fog at some point this year, I think. Do.
Or my dad will just go on and on about it.
Spinal Tap.
Yeah, there's a new Spinal Tap coming out.
Yeah, I know,
so
I've heard.
That might tie in.
Poltergeist.
Yeah.
They're doing that in Wisbeach next month, aren't they?
Yeah, we might.
So maybe we should just go and see it instead. Oh,
We found out there's quite a lot of stuff going on at the light, isn't there?
Yeah.
In terms of older films, which is cool. So we need to try to make sure we don't clash too much.
We don't want to really, do we?
No.
Close Encounters.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Escape from New York.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, there's too many.
There is. Mad Max.
Mm-mm. Yeah, we need to switch to doing these every week, basically.
So I've got, Robocop's another one on my list.
That's on at the light as well.
Yeah, Evil Dead 2.
What we actually need to do is club together and actually buy our own little cinema.
I think we might as well.
I think that's where
this is
going.
Should we just do that?
Do that and just put on one film a week.
Yeah.
Well, apart from Retro Reels, then, what are we going to be up to next week, our kid?
Well, we've got a few choices next week. Immaculate, which is
that?
A horror film starring Sydney Sweeney as a nun.
Okay.
That's as much as I've got for you. Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire.
It looks tough.
Looks bad.
Yeah.
We've got Monkey Man.
Ooh, we said about that.
We saw the trailer for that, didn't we?
The trailer of. The First Omen.
Right. Can I just say about The First Omen? I've also just seen that come up on my screen.
It's
got Ralph Ineson in it. That's Finchy out of The Office.
Okay.
So I think on that basis, it's also Monkey got Bill, it Charles Dance and Bill Nighy. Yeah.
And then the Back to Black, the Amy Winehouse
I've seen the trailer for that. There's something in that I don't like about it. And it's not, I don't think it's going to be bad. It just doesn't feel like it's for me.
No, me neither. I'd rather just watch the Amy documentary.
I'd watch the and then listen to the soundtrack, and then that would do me good. Well, Monkey Man would be my vote. But
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Sounds good.
Nice. Well, hopefully catch you all next week then.
Bye.
Just So Jables.